a little bit surprised. I came in, I didn't even bring my Bible in with me, and Brother John met me in the foyer out here and kind of smiled and chuckled, and I said, "Oh, you're kidding," you know, and he said, "No, I'm not kidding." So I do stand in need of your prayers this afternoon, but if God would be with us for a little while, on the subject of what you have before you next week, it's a solemn thing to go into a series of meetings where you would dedicate a building or an edifice like this to the service of the Lord. In 2 Chronicles, you find where Solomon went into that service and prayed a very earnest prayer to the dedication of the temple after it had been completed. And the prayer that he prayed was a very momentous prayer, if you will. And we simply won't take the time tonight to get into all that was said, but because I have some things that I want to, if the Lord would bless us, to try to go to concerning what was said. As he said, the priests and they've done everything that they could do, and the glory of the Lord has filled this building. And during the course of this prayer that Solomon is praying for this edifice, he comes across the fact that God, peradventure, would judge Israel to the point that there might be a pestilence sent. And he says, "If you sinned." We get over to the 7th chapter of 2 Chronicles and the 14th verse, a very popular verse of scripture. I've heard it with the people that I used to be affiliated with as a child. I've heard it on the television concerning the situation that this nation is in. It's a very popular scripture. It's probably used out of context more than any other scripture in the Bible. And the scripture says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Very wonderful truth that God has brought to his people. And oftentimes I hear people, probably not near enough, I hear people say, "Pray for us." That's a common request, is it not? From time to time, when we are fixing to go into a meeting such as you all are fixing to endeavor or endeavoring to go into next weekend, pray for our meeting. If you can't come, pray for us. It's a common request. Pray for us. And we use this scripture to tell people all the time, "Well, you know, if we'll just pray, God will hear our prayer, and he'll heal our land." Well, while God has the ability to do that, and for the most part is in the habit of doing that, the context of this scripture says that God is not obligated to do that. Because notice there is a condition in the prior two verses. Let's read verse 12. "And the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice." The Lord says to Solomon, he said, "I have chosen this place." This place that you have been in very instrumental in the building of, this place that you have so dedicated your life to the building of this temple, I have chosen this place. And as Brother John said, the glory of the Lord has filled this place. Then he says, "If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. What the Lord is actually saying here is, if you are in, or if you are being chastened by God for a situation that you are in, if you will humble yourself and seek my face, notice that he just doesn't say just humble yourselves. He says humble yourselves and seek my face. Then will I hear from heaven. Then will I hear from heaven. God is not obligated, as I said this morning, to answer our prayers as we see fit to answer them. I pray. My wife and I have a little thing that we go through every day, twice a day. We never go to bed. Our heads don't hit the pillow at night that we do not pray together before we go to sleep. And our feet don't hit the floor in the morning before we pray together, before we get out of bed. That is just something that we do. It's something that I believe the family that prays together stays together. There's a lot of these little things that we could say and come up with that speak these way about these things. I believe in the power of prayer. James chapter 5, verse 16, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There's much sickness amongst God's people, not only physical sickness, but there's spiritual sickness amongst God's people. This nation is spiritually sick, and this nation, which I believe it is under the chastening hand of God, if this nation will repent, if this nation will seek the face of God, if it will realize that we are going down the wrong path, if this nation will fall on its knees, if we as a people will accumulatively join together in prayer, and I truly believe that we should, I want you to know that I wouldn't have a problem tonight if we didn't do anything but just stop right now and commence to having a prayer service. And every person here just beg God for this land in which we live, this city and this state in which y'all live, for the dedication service of this wonderful building. There's nothing greater than the power of prayer. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. A person that is sick, you know, one of the greatest things, you know, I'm not sick very often, but whenever I am sick, the one thing I want is the prayers of God's people. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But notice I said at first, God's not obligated by us. He is a sovereign God. And as I said this morning, I talked about three men that he said if they were here, I wouldn't listen to them. I wouldn't answer their prayer. Go with me real quick to the book of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 1. Then said the Lord unto me. The Lord says to Jeremiah, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Wow. Can you imagine your sin, your path that you have taken is so far from the commandments and from the oracles of God that God would say, if Moses himself was standing before me requesting on your behalf, I wouldn't hear him. This people, had gotten to that point. He said, though Moses or Samuel were here, I wouldn't hear them. In Ezekiel chapter 14, we briefly touched on it this morning. In Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 14, he says, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, but yet we can get in a situation where that God just says enough is enough. And sometimes it happens. It happens, my friends, it happens. But notice here, he uses three men. Three men that Ezekiel here records, and God says that these three men are righteous men. He says that Job is a righteous man. If you go over to Job chapter 42, you find where that Job actually prayed for, Job was told to pray for some people. Job chapter 42, and we'll begin in verse 7. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, "My wrath is kindled against thee." The Lord speaks to an individual here, and he says, "My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends." Job had three miserable comforters. And against those three miserable comforters, the Lord says, "My wrath is kindled against you. For ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job." God says Job was a righteous man. Even though Job had all kinds of problems, God said he was a righteous man. He even sent his three miserable comforters to Job and told them, "You go and tell Job to do and offer the sacrifice and have Job to pray for you, because I will hear his request." My friends, we're in a state, we're in a position in our lives where we ought to, as James says, pray one for another. We ought to pray. We ought to beg God for each other's health. We ought to pray for each other's wealth, for our well-being. You know, whenever I confront, ask someone, "Pray for me," I'm not just saying pray for me because just as a flippant request. I need your prayers. We sing the song, "I need the prayers of those I love." I need the prayers. I need your prayers to get me through every day. He says, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it. You know, Noah was a man that was considered a righteous man. And he is the one who by faith, let's see, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, I believe it is. Ordinarily, if I'd had a little more time, I might have known this. "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." The fact that Noah did what God commanded him to do, God says this man is a righteous man, and he's commanded us to pray, has he not? To ask whenever we have something that we need. He knows what we need before we ever ask. I have told you I have three children, and a lot of times they would come and ask me for things, and I'd know what they needed or what they wanted before they ever came to me. And a lot of times I already had it purchased, had it put up, but I wanted them to ask, not as a means of making me look big or anything like that, but just simply I wanted them to know that they needed to ask, and it would be given to them. He says, these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, and I want to close my remarks, and I want us to, I really do, I have a desire to maybe spend a few moments in prayer this afternoon, Brother John. And the reason I do is because the prayer that I want to read to you is what I consider to be one of the most momentous prayers ever recorded in God's Word. He gives us three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job. Now, we've talked a little bit about Noah. We've talked a little bit about Job. But go with me to Daniel chapter 9. In the 9th chapter of Daniel's writings, we'll find where there is a prayer that is being prayed, and one might think right off the top of your head that it is a ridiculous prayer. Okay, in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 1. "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years wherein the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Here we find something about the character of this man, Daniel. We realize that this man, Daniel, is a Bible reader, do we not? Because he is reading the book of Jeremiah. He is a man that understands that reading the Word of God is important. We understand that he is a Bible reader because he's reading the book of Jeremiah. We understand that he understands by his reading of the book of Jeremiah, especially what we would consider to be the 25th chapter, along about the 12th verse, we'll find where that Jeremiah has prophesied that there would be 70 years that the people of Israel would be in captivity in Babylon. And I set my face, verse 3, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces. And as at this day, to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are afar off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. He goes on down and he talks about how gracious God was to Israel through all their trials and all their tribulations that they went through. He talks about how it was things that were written in the law of Moses. He talks about all these things in this prayer, in this request that he is making before God, because he realizes that the time of this 70 years is about up. He realizes that it's not going to be much longer. God prophesied through the prophet Jeremiah that 70 years would be fulfilled in the desolation of Jerusalem. He prophesied that these 70 years would happen. And Daniel, being a student of the Word of God, being a man of God, a righteous man, as Ezekiel has recorded for us, Daniel, being this righteous man, reading this and understanding this, says, understands that this time is about to be fulfilled. He realizes that it's almost time that the desolation that was, the sentence that was passed upon the people of Israel for their unbelief and for their going away from the commandments of God, that this time is about up. This 70 years is about up. He knows how long he's been there. He knows when he got there. He knows all this. And he knows he's a man that is, he's student of the Word of God, and he knows these things. And I contend that of all the men that are in the Word, that have written things in the Word of God, I don't think there's a more intellectual man than the man Daniel ever recorded in God's holy Word. That man knew some things that were absolutely amazing. His book is filled with wonderful prophecies. He was able to interpret dreams and things in ways that no other man has been able to do. We go on down, and at the end of this, towards the end of this prayer, in verse 16, he says, O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, Because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now, therefore, O God, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon the sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. Do you see? There is the key. When we go to the Lord in prayer, we go begging that the things we are requesting would be beneficial to us for the Lord's sake. If we want to be used in the kingdom of God, we need to be requesting that God would answer our prayer. I heard a preacher say one time, he preached a sermon on making yourself available to be used in the kingdom of God. Y'all are fixing to have, starting Thursday night, y'all are fixing to start a service that is going to hopefully, prayerfully, bring the glory of God in the singing, in the praying, and in the preaching, that the name of the Lord would be manifest in this building, that the people of this city would see that these, that you all are part of that bride, that manifestation of that bride that we tried to speak about this morning. We desire, not so that we can pat ourselves on the back, not so that we can puff up our lapels and say, look at us, we're Bethel Primitive Baptist Church, but that the name of the Lord might be glorified, that something would be done for his sake because of what he has done for us. I mean, there is motive here beyond imagination. Because he says, O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee. This is one of the most momentous prayers that has ever been prayed on the face of the earth. Daniel knows that the time is about up, and you would say, well, why? If Daniel knows that the 70 years are about up, why, if Daniel knows that the people are going to be released from this Babylonian captivity, why, if he knows that because of what Jeremiah said in his prophecy, would he pray that God would do something that he's prophesied that he's going to do? I give you a simple reason. Daniel wanted to see it. How many of you pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will return to take us all home to be with him in glory? He's promised you he's going to do it. Why do you pray it? Because you want to see it. I pray that the Lord Jesus would return tonight if he so desires. Why? Because I want to see it. I want to see it in my lifetime. Daniel wanted to see the fulfillment of this prophecy. And he is begging God and praying that God, for the Lord's sake, that he will fulfill his prophecy. Now then, you say, well, you said at the outset that just because we pray, we're not obligating God to do so. But I also said that James records that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I don't want to confuse the issue. I consider everyone here more righteous than I. And I don't say that with any false humility. If you knew the kind of life I've lived the first 40 years of my life, and unfortunately, there's at least two people here that know part of that, not counting myself. Daniel records, he said, O my God, verse 18, O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. If you don't, Lord, you're going to violate your prophecy. Please, God, I beg you, Lord, do what you prophesied through Jeremiah that you said you would do. Relieve us from where we are. Deliver us. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, beings caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Listen to this. You think God doesn't take prayer seriously? Listen to this. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth. And I am come to shew thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. Gabriel tells Daniel, he said, at the moment your knees hit the ground, the commandment came forth. The very moment your knees hit the ground, Daniel, the commandment came, and I came swiftly. And I touched you. My friends, I want to tell you something. God takes prayer seriously. Now then, if you've ever felt the chastening hand of God, and I dare say I probably am speaking to a people who have felt the chastening hand of God on more than one occasion. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven. That is an amazing thing. We serve a great and merciful God, but he is a sovereign God, and we do not obligate him by anything we do. Daniel says, I want to see it. He prayed to the effect that a prophecy would be fulfilled, that he could see it. How many of you here tonight want to see the glory of the Lord begin here Thursday night and carry right on through until Sunday? How many of you want to see what Isaiah saw whenever in the year Hezekiah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up and his train fill the temple. How many of you want that? Do you want to feel that wonderful presence of God? Do you want to feel him so close to you that you can just feel like he has just wrapped you up in his gracious arms and held you so tight and he just never will never let you go? Pray a momentous prayer. One that reflects the sake of God for the Lord's sake. Not so that Mike Roberts might be honored. Not so that Brother Junior might be lifted up or Brother John might be lifted up. But so that the Lord's name might be honored. That we could be filled with the glorious understanding that someday all those precious promises that he made to us through his word, he will fulfill. May God bless you. May God keep you. And if I don't get to see you next weekend, my prayer is that God will fill this building, that his name will be glorified in some way as best we can. Brother John.